In way of announcements this morning, it's quite obvious we have no organist. Miss Emily has taken a weekend off, and she will be with us next week. Now, since this portion, if you actually look in the rubrics of the service, whether you're looking at a missal mass or a prayer book mass, the portion up until the consecration starts, all the prayers, all the preparations of the elements, is always called the instructional portion of the mass, or of the service liturgy, however you want to term that. And so I get a little extra leeway this morning for two reasons. A, it's the instructional portion, and B, when you remove the music, you find out that we have a lot more time left. And so in order to, you know, fulfill the requirements for us to be here, and, well, for Lynn to know, because we're timed as to when she brings the boys in, it takes a little while. But one thing that I enjoy when I enjoy music, okay, and I enjoy the organ and everything, but when Emily's not here, we choose to do a spoken mass, and we add all the minor propers. Now, so in the announcements this morning, I'm going to kind of do just a very short teaching, and then we'll get into the sermon. And we might mention, but first let's do, does anybody know of any announcements? We'll have Bible study this week, and then next week, I will not be here for Bible study. I believe that's true. That's the first, or will I?
You will be here for the first.
Okay, it's the ninth.
It's the ninth.
What I want everybody to remember, the 2nd of August till the 11th of August, I will be away. I will actually be in Venice, Italy. So I'm away.
Tough
duty. Sometimes it's tent, sometimes it's Tijuana.
Yeah.
Always accept the good ones because a bad one's going to come along. I have spent in a tent in Fort Dix, New Jersey, so I'm going to accept Venice, Italy. I had a chance to go as I was selected kind of a junior officer's training seminar with other NATO countries. And so we're going to meet with other NATO officers of the same rank and, you know, see how they do things. And we're in Italy. And so that's a positive thing. If any emergencies come up, I'm going to talk with Father Norm down in Charleston to see if he can provide some coverage, and also Father Fanning. And I'll get Joe, you and Bill, I'll get y'all their numbers. If any serious emergencies come up that a priest is needed, it will be very difficult for me to get back. It's basically a day, full day trip to come back. And so I will talk with them, and they will fill in my absence. But that's going to mean that one Bible study is missing. I should be here for Sunday on the 12th. We're at a standby for a lay service if in case something happens with the airplane and you get shifted, suddenly everything else gets shifted. But the way the schedule is right now, I should be back in plenty of time. That's the announcements that I have. Does anybody else have any?
Taking all the thunder out of it.
Okay.
No, I failed to record last week's Bible study because I forgot the recorder. So anybody who expected to see it pop up on the internet, it's not there. And so that way we got to talk about all the people that work there.
We've done that well.
So we get back to, and sometimes we get hung up on terminology. You know, do we call this liturgy? Do we call this Eucharist? Do we call this the Mass? Do we call this a service? What do we call this thing? And even terminology is a problem. Mass is a Western term. It's a Latin term. It talks about what we're doing. If you go to an Orthodox service, they will talk about the divine liturgy. And if you talk to an Orthodox priest, typically because they're here in America, they will understand. But if you go to somewhere like Greece or Russia or Armenia or somewhere where it's predominantly Orthodox, and you ask a priest, well, did you say Mass today? They're going to look at you kind of weird. And if you say, well, did you say the liturgy today? Oh, of course. Liturgy means the work of the people. So the terms that use, they're the same terms, it just depends on where you're at. The Holy Eucharist, that's also what we do, but that's a small portion of what we do, because the Eucharist is actually the distribution of the elements that are consecrated for us. And so this whole section then becomes either liturgy or mass or a service, however we want to term that. And it's divided into sections. There's instructional sections where we hear the call it for purity, and what it talks is renewing our mind. The epistle lesson, the gospel lesson, between those two, when we don't have music, we add what's called the gradual and the alleluia, which is just an evolution of what's going to happen as we proclaim the gospel. Because the reason that we stand at the gospel is that's the most important. That is where the words of life are found. If you go to some large churches that have a lot of resources, a lot of times they will have a special gospel book. And it's just a book containing nothing but the Gospels. Now, it's not saying that we don't think the Bible's important, the whole Bible's important, but we understand that the whole Bible gets its significance from what is proclaimed in the Gospel, because that is where our Lord is talked about. And several other places in the service, we just add what's called minor propers. They're just additional scripture readings, additional prayers that adds to what we're doing. I'll tell you, I learn something new every time that I go and prepare for a service, because I'll flip to the beginning and see, why are we doing it this way? Why does this happen at this point? And so it's a teaching experience. There's also something that happens when we don't have the music. There's a lot of silence. When we don't have the music, there's a lot of times where everything is either very quiet, or you in the pew are just sitting there because I'm doing something. Those are very important times to do a couple of things. A, to listen to what's being said. The prayers, the words, or to pray ourselves. Because sometimes there's nothing going on except maybe the preparation of the elements. Those are times for us to pray. To ask the Lord to heal our hearts, to be with us as we prepare to receive what our Lord offers. One of the beautiful things about the service, about the Catholic faith, whether we're talking about Rome or Constantinople or the Anglican Catholic, is that the priest, while necessary, is unnecessary. The priest is necessary because he stands in apostolic succession and he consecrates the elements and distributes that to the people. But he's also unnecessary in that the liturgy goes on. Several of my fellow priest and I talk, and I said this at Bible study, we talk about how the glory of the boundaries of our service is the priest can be a total idiot and the service still goes on because you're just reading words and there's safety there. Let me tell you, having grown up in the Protestant church to where the sermon can be 30 to 45 minutes long, and that's the most important thing, you can get in some real funky areas when you're talking about that and somebody's just giving their opinion for 30 or 45 minutes. Kind of what I'm doing right now in the announcements. But I wanted to let everybody know what was going on. Why we're doing it a little bit different this Sunday is not only because Emily's not here, but also because I think it helps us as we add that we get to see kind of what's going on and see some differences. Also, we're going back very old. Because we've added, for example, the final gospel, which you'll hear at the very end. All of that is very, very old stuff. Stuff that was done for centuries and centuries and centuries before we simplified things. Sometimes out of necessity, and ashamedly, sometimes out of laziness. Because if you were to do this whole service with music, and if we were to add incense, and everything that goes on, you can easily stretch into over an hour. Well, here in America, I mean, if church service goes over an hour, you know, people rise up almost to, you know, in anger. If you ever get a chance to visit an Orthodox church and they say the full divine liturgy, 3 hours. 3 hours. And what you don't want to do is look at a priest and say, you know, that's a long time. Because they will look at you and tell you very clearly, what's the most important thing that you have to do? And it helps to put everything back in perspective. You know, of all we have to do, this is very, very, very important. One reason we can't do incense here is because if we fire up incense in here, the Presbyterians would run us out, you know, because it would still linger by the time they got here. And so we don't add that. But there are more prayers that goes along with that and more actions that goes along with that. So just a little bit of introduction, a little bit of in this instructional portion of the service this morning before we get into the sermon.